Okay. So, this year has been a new change. Shay's introduced What Would Jesus Say? And we've been kind of basing all of our sermons along that line. And one of the things that I felt inspired to do is the 12 steps. It's all scripturally based. Jesus said a lot of things. And he also healed a lot of broken people. And for tonight, we're going to talk about 10, 11, 12. As it says right there, the daily principles. Daily things that we must do to maintain well. We did all the hard work, hopefully. You know, we talked about 1, 2, 3, coming to Christ, burying our old self, be reunified with Christ and his love. 4, 5, 6, which is horrible. Please, you know, it's a horrible thing to do, but we have to do it. We have to do the work. If we want to be well, we have to do the work to get well. And then, of course, we talk about 7, 8, 9, making those amends, forgiveness, which led into, you know, burying our old self. That's a great leadway into going into a baptism, burying our old self and being reborn anew. But once we're reborn, we still have to do daily work, the daily principles, 10, 11, 12. So first, 10. When we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. Ooh, yes. We may grow impatient with ourselves when we continue to run into the same sins over and over again. This may cause us to get discouraged, or we may be afraid that we are doomed to relapse. What's the point? If I'm going to continue to do the things that I know I don't want to do. But Peter asked Jesus, "Sir, how often should I forgive my brother or sister who's sinned against me? 7 times? Jesus said, "No. No. 70 times 7. 70 times 7. If this is to be our attitude towards others, doesn't it make sense that we should extend the same grace to ourselves? If we can forgive somebody for wronging us, can we not forgive ourselves? That was probably one of the hardest things that I had to overcome, was being okay with Matthew and forgiving Matthew for all the stupid things that I did. We need to be patient with ourselves. Oh, that ugly, disgusting word, patience. As God expects us to be with others, Paul wrote in Romans 5, this is a lot harder one-handed. Romans 5, Paul wrote, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by the faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us, each and every single one of us." Yeah, I've gone through some suffering, and I've been through some pain, but I have, God willing, you know, I have 8.5 years of continuous recovery from my pain and suffering. I have a relationship with my children. I have a loving wife that puts up with me constantly, although I annoy her every single day. She loves me, and I know God loves me and is willing to be patient with me as I continue to make mistakes. So this is your first fill in the blank. He loves us despite our continual sins. He loves us despite that we are broken, that we make mistakes, that we mess up. Regardless, that unconditional love, but we have to do our part and forgive others. Most importantly, we have to forgive ourselves. Because learning to wait patiently is an important characteristic for us to develop. Each time we admit wrong and accept God's forgiveness, our hope and faith have a chance to be exercised and to grow stronger. We no longer have to hide in shame every time we slip. We can admit our wrongs and move on. God's love is reaffirmed every time when we rely upon Him. In this way, God helps us hold our heads high no matter what happens. It is amazing what the human being can achieve through constant discipline effort. The Big Book says that we must continue to watch for selfishness, self-centeredness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. All those wonderful things. But we have to, because all that we have is a daily reprieve contingent on our spiritual maintenance. Not somebody else's spiritual maintenance, but our own. Our maintenance that we have to uphold and be disciplined to forgive ourselves, to forgive others, just as God has forgiven us. Daily. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 it says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. We have to work continuously. I mean, I'm sure at some point in time we all wanted to be ripped like Pete, you know, at some point, right? Have muscles and walk around on the beach. Ooh, yeah. But it takes practice. It takes discipline. I know he's got a sweet tooth, so I know he slips up all the time as he's hitting her with a bag of trolleys. He knows that it takes work, but we have to do the work too. Daily work, admitting when we were wrong, and promptly admit it. Step 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. This is a big step. Recovery doesn't happen overnight. Just like our addictions didn't just happen overnight, right? It was a slow and steady progress. Sometimes we made big leaps and bounds in our addiction. We jumped from one extreme to another, to another, to another. So we cannot expect recovery to be a one-day process, or a week process, or even a month. It takes time. How much time? As much time as it takes. As much time as it takes. God willing, He intervened for us and make it a little bit swifter. Sometimes that 2x4 upside the head needs to happen. I've experienced that one myself. It doesn't feel good. Still have a knot. But it's patiently waiting for God's intervention. We have to be willing to allow God to intervene for us. God's timing. Isaiah 40. Switch one-handedly over here. Isaiah 40. You can turn with me. Verse 27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. He is understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Recovery doesn't happen overnight. Just because I have recovery doesn't mean my problems go away. I still have to trust and rely upon God. I have to build a stronger connection with God every single day. I cannot rest upon my laurels and my achievements thinking, well, God got me this far, I got it the rest. No, it's not going to work that way because my will intervene and get me in trouble. But God's will always lead me on the right path. It is not a tightrope where we have to balance continuously, expecting us to fall at some point in time. It is a broad highway. It's vast. You know, it's just like the bowling alley, right? When we're little kids, we put the bumpers up, and we can throw that ball as hard as we want, or as, you know, granny roll it down there, and it may bounce a couple of times in between there, but it's still going in that direction. It's going to hit a pin, hopefully a strike, right? But we have to be willing to work towards that goal, building that relationship with God. Because before we can work with one another, we have to work on our relationship, vertical. We have to vertically work on our relationship. Here's your next fill in the blank. It is good both to hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good both to hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. I can experience sometimes of just, not really say complacent, but just a plateau maybe spiritually, kind of running through the motions kind of a sense. Things aren't really getting better, but I know things are not getting worse. So what do? Get into the Bible, start reading, getting out of myself, helping others to grow their spiritual connection. Working with others, what we'll get into, but it first has to start with God and building our relationship with Him. Because in the past, we would use our addictions as a hiding place, right? We would hide from the world, hide from our problems, hide from whatever it is that we just don't want to deal with, and go and get high or drink. Because it was too overwhelming to deal with. Maybe I'll just deal with it tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow it will be gone and it will settle itself. Then tomorrow comes and it's still there. Now in recovery, life can still seem overwhelming. Maybe even more overwhelming because we don't have our crutch. Whatever your choice was. We need to find a new hiding place. A new hiding place. In 2 Samuel 22, let me get there. 2 Samuel 22, verse 7, I'm sorry, 2 through 7. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge and my Savior. From violent people, you save me. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and have been saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The turrets of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of my grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me, but in my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. Jump to verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. So when we feel overwhelmed with life, as life tends to throw curveballs and change-ups, sorry, I was kind of at a baseball game, so I was constantly thinking, like, a slider, you know, we strike out all the time. When it's overwhelming, where do we go? We have to go to the Lord. We go to the Lord with our problems. We go to the Lord when our anxiety is overwhelming. We don't know what to do. We don't know what path, what purpose. Well, that was my biggest fear. What's my purpose? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Where am I supposed to go? What purpose do I have? Well, here I am in front of you, speaking his word. Very scary thing. So whenever I feel overwhelmed, I don't hide from my problems. We have to do it. We do it scared, right? But we do it with his help because we seek him because he is our savior. He is our salvation. He is the rock that we stand behind to defend us, to help us in times of need. Amen. Amen. We sought through prayer. No, I'm sorry. Next step. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Life in recovery. When does it end? Never? We don't graduate? I don't want to, I want a diploma. I want a BS diploma on my wall right there. Mine says BA, but I don't really know what that means. But BA, you know, so but I want a BS degree. People say the glory through each and every single one of us. But whose glory is that? That's God's glory. So when we have had recovery, and when we are working these principles in all of our affairs, as we were joking a minute ago, it's that attraction. Rather than promotion, right? It's that attraction that I say, I want what that guy's got. Why are they so happy, joyous, and free? We can relate to those who are still suffering. The healing to freedom. The clarity in having that mercy be bestowed upon us. Beauty and the joy. On the path to heaven because we came from hell. We see the path. And people want to be on that same path. But we have to be there to help guide them. To show them, I've been where you are. Let me show you how I did it. It's all laid out in a book. And that book came from this book. It's a lot of work. But it is so worth it. Amen. It is so worth it. Amen. There are so many of us out there in this world that don't know that we're broken. There's so many that do realize that they're broken and not willing to do anything about it just yet. Hopefully that seed has been planted. That one day they want it. They want it so bad they're willing to do anything to get it. We are ready to take certain steps. As Teresa always likes to remind those who, you know, she has conversations with, of those when they're ready to be, you know, they're broken and ready for something. And then she would always remind them, you would do anything to get that next high. You have to be willing and able to do anything to get this. Anything and everything. Here's your next fill in the blank. This is a quote from Ken. We have to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. When he told me that, I just started busting out laughing as we were in South Dallas. And it's just like, oh, that is so true. That is so true. I get it. That's why we're here. You're broken just like I am. You just don't see it. But I want to be there. I want to be there for those who are just tired of living in pain and misery and suffering. And they think they know Jesus, but they really truly don't. They want something better for themselves. We are in the fire line. We are in the trenches battling every single day for our own lives, but the lives of our brothers and sisters who are standing right next to us. The triage unit, as Aunt Lori would like to say. We're the triage unit. Trina knows. She sees a lot of triage every single day. Sometimes she doesn't want to deal with it, but she does it because she knows how important it is to save somebody's life. We have to comfort the afflicted. Isaiah 61. I'm trying to get my tabs in the right direction here. Isaiah 61. Lost my thought. Verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. All the work we do is for him. It's for him, not for us. This is a selfish program because we want to do anything to be well. But once we get there, it's not about us anymore. It's because he asked us to. And the only way that we are able to keep what we have is to give it away freely. Amen. To give it away. So your next fill in the blank. Sure, some of y'all may be able to fill this one in without me even saying it. Walk the talk. Not talk the walk. We must walk the talk, not talk the walk. We have to continually do this. Practice these principles in all of our affairs. You know, that was one of the things, those kickers, that little thorn in my side that, well, when I'm out in public, I am that person, you know. I'm the want to be the leader or whatever. I'm the saint. But I know me. I know me. I can't, you know, hide my true self. I have to be rigorously honest. I have to walk the talk every single day in all what I do. Sometimes, you know, yeah, it's hard. I don't want to do it. But Therese will call me out so quick. I know your sponsor's on a sabbatical right now, but you need to call him now. Okay, yes, ma'am. I got to get back into the program. I got to get back into the trudge of just dealing with everything. Because the only way that I'm going to get through it is to go through it. I want to go ahead and have the band come back up. Or Jonah and Allie. Because when we wake up to realize everything that we have gained by following the 12 steps, isn't it amazing? Everything that we lost has now been given back to us. Naturally, we want to share that gift. We want to share that with people. We don't respond well in the beginning of preaching, right? We don't want to be talked down to. We don't want to listen to that, all that. We just want to be told short, sweet, to the point, right? Is there an easier, softer way? No, there's not. But when we do this, our story becomes the message. Our testimony becomes what we all need and what we all want. A better way of life, a better way of living. We have to be willing to share it. I found God. I was a drug addict and alcoholic. You know, I used to introduce myself that way. My name is Matthew. I'm an alcoholic, drug abusing liar. And I can't repeat the rest.
Oh, yes, you can.
Not on YouTube. But I get to say that sarcastically but humbly because it's true. And the only way that I was able to realize that is by doing the steps, working with the sponsor, being a part of a fellowship, and realizing Matthew's way is not the best way. There's better ways to live life, to live on God's time, not Matthew's time. So, as Paul wrote to Timothy, you have to put your beliefs into action. Others will see. Many people say that I have changed. But the truth is, I've just found myself. As Paul wrote, 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Preserve in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. In God's name we pray. Amen. Amen.